Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Oh, over there, send the word, over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
Just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey?
I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Today's episode, I am super excited for. I probably say it a bunch, but this is a conversation that was waiting to happen. I met Jared, back in December. Jared is a local. He is a diamond in the rough, I'm going to say. And I hope he doesn't take offense to that, or me saying that. But this dude is a modern-day Renaissance man. And I say that not kidding. I don't say that tongue-in-cheek. I say that because Jared is the goddamn quintessential person that, ladies, if he was single, you would want to bring home to mom, okay? Jared is an author. He is a doctor by trade. And he's a musician. He gets all three boxes that mom wants you to have. He makes us all look bad is what he does. I've gotten to know Jared Reiner in the best possible way over the last few months. And somebody I consider a dear friend. He's a local. You're not going to see original music from Jared right now. That hopefully will come. Right? You're not going to see original music. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care. He's a local guy out of Connecticut who has a weekly residency at Off the Rails. Our friends over at Off the Rails who have just opened their absolutely gorgeous music venue. They opened it up this past weekend. Really? Yeah, this past weekend. My days are getting all confused, everyone. This past weekend with Sawyer Brown, they had Ricky Duran and Liam Coleman. Unbelievable. Unbelievable start to their new venue there. But you can find Jared every Wednesday night at Off the Rails playing his songs. And he has the voice of an angel. Is really what it comes down to. And I'm probably kissing his ass real bad right now, right? But it is what it is. You're going to hear in the next hour plus. You know, we had a fucking, again, excuse my language, but a great conversation, him and I. And, you know, at first I wasn't sure what the hell we were even going to talk about because I just didn't know. But we talked about his books. His book was just released April 26th, The Devil in These Hills. He was sweet enough to send me a copy quite a while ago, you know, so thank you, Jared, for that. And I'm almost done it, and you're going to hear a lot about it in this conversation. But the conversation doesn't do it justice. This book is fan-freaking-tastic. You know, I'm flipping through it right now and looking at it, and it's such a good book. It's such a good book. It's, you know, and you know what I love? And you'll hear it, and I know I'm going off the rails, no pun intended, with this little intro. But Jared and I also had a conversation about, you know, doings in the world as well. And you can tell that we might be on the same page, but with some things, but not on the same page with things. And I think I love that, actually, because it's an authentic conversation. And again, I can't thank you, Jared, enough for it. You know, for what is supposed to be a music background, whatever, show, you know, we really got into some background with Jared, and it was absolutely incredible. Before we start the episode, I want to just do a shout out to Wojcik's Farm and the country jam that we're going to be a part of. You're going to hear a little bit about that here in a minute, as well as our friends over at CMV. We do a little plug there for them too before the conversation starts. But you know, thank you to all of our friends at Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company, Soul Authentic, Matthew Allen Photography. Thank you guys so much. Without you, this, you know, a lot of this wouldn't be possible. So if you get through those few commercials, I appreciate it. And you'll hear from Jared and myself on the other side, and then we'll come back and wrap up everything, and hopefully you'll come back and listen to us again next week. So without further ado, some commercials. Jared Reinert, see you in a few. Hey guys, just a friendly reminder, we are coming up on our 1 year Boots and Whiskey podcast anniversary. We are kicking it off, a great celebration, June 11th, Country Jam, Wojcik's Farm, 65 Milk Street, Blackstone, Massachusetts. This is a 21 plus event from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Cat Country is going to be there out of Providence. Come check it out. Get your tickets. You'll be able to see Wendy and the Cultivators, Pete Tyler Band, Trigger South, the Pub Kings, Goat Roper Band, Houston Bernard, and Timmy Brown will be our headliner. It's going to be a hell of a night. Get your tickets. You're not going to want to miss it. June 11th, Country Jam, Wojcik's Farm. We'll see you there. I also want to say a big thank you to our friends over at CMV Music Network for sponsoring today's episode and helping us bring it to you. Always remember CMV Music Network. It's where musicians come to play.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Nice, man. It's so nice to talk to you and have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So like I told you, this is all about you. For those of us that are tuning in for the first time to hear Jared, like this is no holds barred. This is just,
all right,
I have no idea what's going to happen, so.
All right, that's a pretty good subject for me to talk about. I'm pretty comfortable with that one.
Awesome. Right? So tell us about you and who you are and what you're doing and
yeah,
all that stuff, man.
Yeah, so I'm you know, kind of a jack of all trades, but I'm you know, country singer. I love classic country, 90s country. And we met, I opened for Tyler Booth at the Palladium in Worcester. And, you know, I've been playing since Off the Rails open over the summer. I've been playing there.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know, a lot, at least once a week. And, you know, having a great time, just kind of getting back into it. I'm kind of coming back from like a 5 year hiatus. You know, where I was performing a bunch. I was in a band and playing, you know, probably 3 or 4 nights a week at, like, you know, bars and county fairs and festivals and shit like that. And then I moved to New England to go to school. And and didn't have time for a band, hardly had time to really practice. And now I'm, you know, getting back into the swing of it, and Off the Rails has been a really great place to, you know, step back into doing what I love. Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, I started singing there one night the first week they opened, and I mean, it's like, it's just been like, I don't know, like a lucky penny, you know, like I've had a lot of really great opportunities thanks to those guys. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. This being one of them for sure.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So how did that come about? You know, like you know, you're pretty much, you know, you have a residency there, you know, you're there every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, like clockwork.
Did
they come to you and say, hey, we want you here? Or did you go to them and be like, hey, I want to be here?
So a little bit of both. Yeah. So So when they opened, there was an article that ran in the newspaper, and my girlfriend showed me, and she was like, you know, there's a country bar in Worcester. Like, this sounds like perfect for you. And at that point, I hadn't played a gig in, like I said, like probably 5 or 6 years. So I just, you know, kind of sent a cold call out and emailed them and sent them my resume of what I had been up to, you know, before I moved here. And they were like, all right, we got an open slot on Sunday. I think it was a Sunday. And that was like 3 days from when I called. Oh, and so I was like, you know, all right. And so there was a lot of faking it. You know, faking that confidence the first night, you know, so, you know, like I love performing, I love singing, and like, but I was like, man, I haven't sat and sang for like 3 hours straight in years. And like, I was like, I don't even know if I have the songs for 3 hours. Right. So, thankfully everything went well. And I guess I don't really know the whole story, but I guess the guy they had the night before was kind of a clunker a little bit.
All right. Yeah.
And so they were like, whatever this is, we're like, this is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And so by the time I got home, I had an email from their booking guy, and he was like, you know, like, send me your availability. And so I was there maybe like once or twice a week for like the next month. And then I reached out to him and I was like, you know, why don't we do like, let's do like once a week or whatever. And so for a while we were doing every Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let's do Wednesdays. Cause I live, you know, I'm about 45 minutes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, let's just do every single Wednesday. And I think I missed in like 6 months, I got COVID and missed one Wednesday, but
yeah,
I'm there every week, man. And I have a great time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Cause my Off the Rails story is kind of similar to that.
Right.
So I kind of started this thing, and, you know, Off the Rails had just opened when I really started.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I hadn't checked it out, and, you know, I heard things about it, and, you know, full disclosure, good things, bad things, you know.
Whatever, right, you know? Right.
So I had saw that Tyler Booth was coming, and they were doing this thing, and so I was like, you know what? I'll reach out, see what the hell's going on. You know, maybe it's a good, you know, a good stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being close enough where if the night was a disaster, you know, I'm not an hour away. I'm 25
yeah, minutes sl- yeah, slip place. Out, slip out, and go home. Right.
Right. So the guy that was doing the booking for them at the time, mm-hmm. you know, him and I were going back and forth, and he's like, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. Blah 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 blah. So I was like, yeah, sure. What the hell? So I know to Off the Rails, I was a huge pain in the ass to them at the beginning.
Hey, you and me both, man.
And I probably, you know, I probably still am, you know, I probably email Eric once a week about, you know, whatever's going on, because it's like, you got to stay in the loop. You got to stay at the forefront.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think, you know, with the venue opening, mm-hmm. Soon, I think that's going to be a real go-to spot and a great addition to the city of Worcester.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I kind of got a preview of some of the artists that they were sending some contract offers to the other day, and it like jaw dropping, honestly. And
really,
I mean, like people that so I was talking to the manager there, and he was like, you know, so do you want to open for any of these? And I was like, I want to open for every single one of these.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, for real. Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of, you know, that's kind of how I was with the Tyler Booth show, too. Like, you know, they were talking about putting on some shows at the Palladium. And you know, I was trying to be a bug in their ear a little bit, you know. And so when they announced it, I was like, hey, you know, if you're looking for somebody, let me know.
Right.
And, you know, they've been super kind and helpful and really given me some cool opportunities, you know, to play music, which is, you know, I love doing it. So yeah, I'm happy I always joke around, like I've played for my dog for a long time. So it's, so it's really nice to play for like real people, you know?
Yeah. For me, my pitch to them was like, listen, you know, it's free publicity. It's free advertising, more or less. Like, you know, let me come. I'll write reviews and do reviews of the shows and the artists, you know, so it's a win for them. It's a win for you guys. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, obviously, but at the end of the day, what I've done with them and the experiences I've had have not been negative at all, you know, so.
Right.
You know, but I mean, if God forbid there was a night where, you know, so-and-so played and they sounded like shit, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, that was the greatest show I've ever
right.
seen.
Right. Exactly.
You know, because that doesn't do anybody any good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, going back to that night you and I met.
Sure.
You know, it's, you know, doing this, you know, yeah, you want to give everybody a shot. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw, you know, I scoured the internet for you. And nothing was coming up.
There's nothing.
And I'm like,
I'd like to say it's like a, you know, like I like to be private, but I'm just terrible with social media. So
and I was like, and honestly, I said to myself, oh my God, this guy is going to suck.
It's going to be
awful.
Yeah. It's one of those shows to show up late for.
Right. and nothing against you. But
No, I get it.
And then I'm standing there and there's, you know, it wasn't a huge turnout that night.
Right.
But, like, you get on stage and you start to play, and I went, okay, the night can end now.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I mean it, man. Like, you have one of those voices and one of those talents that country music needs now more than ever.
You know, I agree that, like, my style, you know, and, like, the songs that I'm drawn to, are definitely, you know, I sing that because it's what I love, and I would love to see more of that out in the world. You know, like I would love to go to a show or even go to a restaurant and hear, you know, like really good, like just 100% country music.
Right.
And, you know, like I play some Eagles and like Eric Clapton and shit, like if I get bored during my set, but like,
right.
You know, like I love country music and like classic stuff and 90s stuff and just like, you know, like stuff like when you hear it, you're like, you're not wondering if it is country.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying that though. That was a fun night. And I was really happy to, you know, it's not necessarily a big step, but it's definitely a step to go, you know, from playing in a bar to, you know, back to a stage with a sound man and stuff. And like I said, I hadn't done that in a couple of years. And so it was nice to get back to it and, you know, I feel like I still had it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, well, that night you had it, you know, and you really, you know, I know a lot of like opening acts are really to warm up the crowd and all that stuff. And like, you did, like you had everybody, you know, you had everybody in that room glued to you because I don't think really anybody expected what they heard.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of my favorite performers is George Strait. Cause I've seen him live a couple times and he comes out and he like just swags on out there and stands there, you know, he doesn't really say anything. He doesn't move around. But he just sings like you're like, I can't believe what I'm hearing. you know, and I, you know, my whole thing is like, if I'm playing music, I want it to be about the music, you know, like there can be smoke and lights and, you know, fire and pyro and shit. But like, if the music's not there, like, what are you staying for? You know, like, what are you, where are you going? And so, you know, for me, like going into that night, kind of like picking songs and stuff, I was like, I'm going to play what I would want to hear if I was standing out there. And so, you know, it's kind of stressful to be like, you know, what if nobody wants to hear this shit, you know?
Right.
But, you know, like it, like I'll like it, but maybe I'm the only one, but,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a good crowd too. Cause Tyler Booth's pretty, he's definitely got some pretty traditional roots and a pretty classic sound.
Right.
And so he sounded great that night too.
He really did, you know, for somebody who had never been to the area, even though it wasn't a huge, huge crowd, you know, it was pretty, good for, you know, really where it was. And
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He was, you know, like, he's a real deal. You know, I think he's got a pretty good career in front of him.
Yeah. He definitely has what it takes for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's, you know, people talk all the time about where we are situated and all that. And, you know, country music in New England haven't always gone hand in hand.
Right.
But I really think that with the things Worcester is doing, you know, whether it's at the Palladium now or off the rails, and even the Centrum, the acts they've gotten there that are country, you know, it's really kind of becoming the hub of the genre in this area.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, I think what Worcester has going for it too is there's a lot of people coming into the area, you know, like close enough like we are to go see a show. You know, I'm pretty rural. I'm like in the middle of nowhere, but you know, if there's a good show in Worcester, you know, it's not, you know, it's well within the means to go drive in there and see something.
Right.
And you know, I think there's a bunch of colleges and young kids and like countries. Cool right now. Yep. Like it isn't always cool, but country's very cool right now. Yep. And so, you know, like I'm, you know, a guy like Luke Combs could sell out, you know, the DCU Center in a minute, you know, I'm sure.
Because,
because you know,
there's
yeah, there's a lot of young guys, a lot of young people moving in and out of Worcester that are, you know, I would assume a lot of country fans. You know, like that was my situation. You know, I'm from a really small town in like Amish country, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And so I grew up on like bluegrass and classic country. And I moved to Worcester and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of it. And I know I wasn't the only person looking for it.
Right.
You know? And I was living in Worcester when Garth Brooks came to the DCU Center. And
yeah,
I think he played like for a week straight there. I think like it was crazy. Yeah.
It was like a weekend stint. Like
oh my
Friday
god! Yeah,
Sunday, and he played two shows.
He was playing two shows. It's unbelievable.
You know, it's funny because I was going to mention that because that was my wife and I's like first real date.
Really?
Was Garth at the DCU Center?
That's funny. That was
now 6 years ago. Pretty much this past weekend.
That show was the first time my girlfriend met my parents. Was at the Garth Brooks show there too. That's, so that's funny.
That's awesome.
But. And oh my god, I love Garth, right? Like me and my dad are like, we love Garth, and that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I grew up on, and like driving in my dad's car, like that's what we would hear, like the Garth double live album, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And so so we, you know, when he started coming on tour, we were like, we got to go like anything close, and then we probably saw him like, I'm thinking like 4 or 5 times in 2 years, and he plays for so long, you know, like his encores are like an hour. And by the end, we were like, okay, we're like Piano Man's coming, or like American Pie's coming. It's time to go. Let's get out of here. You know, like we're like, oh my god, he's literally sings until you're like almost sick of him.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
You know, it's so funny you say that because that was the first time I had ever seen Garth. My wife, you know, my now wife, she had seen him once or twice before. And at the time we had a roommate that, you know, my parents drove us in, dropped us off so we could drink and have a great time. And then right. our roommate was picking us up.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted our roommate at the point where he played Friends in Low Places because I figured the night was over.
Thinking
and that
over.
Was all that was already an hour and a half in.
Yep.
And
oh, that was probably halfway.
Right. And then another hour and a half goes by and my buddy's sitting out in the parking lot and he's like, where the fuck are you guys? And I'm like, he's still going. I'm like, we haven't even done an encore yet. He goes, you texted me an hour and a half ago. And I was like, I know.
That's so funny. Yeah. I saw when he played at Yankee Stadium, we were like, we got to go. And yeah. and I just happened to like, you know, I was like on Ticketmaster at the right time and got some tickets. And so we went and he was playing two nights. And the first night was like, everything was awesome. And of course, that's not the night we were there. We were there the second night. Right. And there's this huge thunderstorm rolling through. And so they decide they're going to push the show off until after the storm. And so the storm lasts all night.
Yeah.
Right. So we're standing like in the concourse of Yankee Stadium, which is like not a terrible place to hang out. Right. Like it was pretty cool. But he ended up going on, I'm thinking like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then played as long as he usually plays. And my girlfriend and I drove back from New York City to Worcester. And we got back to Worcester at sunrise and got breakfast at a diner on the way home.
Damn.
From the concert. It was insane.
And that's
we were
awesome.
and we slept all day. I mean, it's a great memory, but like man, talk about a long show. That was probably like a 24-hour show.
Yeah. You know, it's just so crazy how, you know, somebody at you know, he's not old by any means, but I mean mm-hmm. he's not young either. You know, that he can still get out there night in and night out and play the way he does and perform the way he does, you know.
It's insane. I don't know how he does it.
Are you guys going to the Gillette show?
No, so we were looking at tickets and we were thinking about it, and then by the time we were like ready to bite the bullet and buy some tickets, it was pretty much sold out. But we were really looking at going, and we'll see. Maybe there's some, you know, ways to get some tickets last minute. But
yeah, I'm sure there will be with
with how many seats there are.
Yeah. You know, because we had gotten tickets originally for when he was here in October, or supposed to be here in October.
Oh, that's right.
We had killer seats.
Okay.
And then, you know, with the cancellation, like I was pissed.
Oh, and like, then you lost those seats then, right?
I lost those seats.
That's shitty.
And then luckily enough, we were able to get, you know, tickets for this one through some contacts, but not to blow up their spot or anything, you know?
Yeah. I saw George Strait there a couple of years ago and it was a good show, but I mean, that's a huge place. I don't even think George Strait sold it out, which is just a testament to like how big that stadium is.
Yeah, you know, it's also one of those things where, you know, country music right now, especially around here, is really a younger crowd. And nothing against the younger generation, but they don't know George Strait.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they certainly don't, you know, care enough to go out and be like, hey, let's figure this out because this guy's coming here.
Right. You know, the $100 towards, you know, a guy like Luke Combs is a lot easier to spend for the younger country music fans, you know.
Yeah, I
get.
It definitely was for me, you know, because I saw I saw Luke at the DCU Center when he came around that the last time he was here, and
okay,
it was, you know, one of the greatest shows I had ever seen.
Oh yeah. I've seen. I mean, so one of the things that I love to do is just like I'll find a video, like a 2-hour video of like live shows.
Yeah.
And I'll just watch them, like, you know, and I love like the, you know, the really dumb shit. Like I like seeing like what guitar they're playing and like, you know, what, like the, you know, like Luke Combs has like microphones on the four corners of the stage. And I'm like, how does he decide where he's going to go? You know, like the, you know, like little shit like that. And I watch that all day. But like, I mean, Luke Combs, like I've probably watched 30 of his shows. And like, I don't think that guy like misses a note.
No,
you know, he's incredible.
Yeah, he really is. It's, you know, and it's just crazy how out of nowhere and quickly he blew up.
It
was really, you know, almost overnight, you know.
Yeah.
With his Vine stuff to releasing a song to,
for sure,
you know, unbelievable.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I see a lot of similarities between him and Chris Stapleton, just kind of in the way they, you know, put a lot of work in behind the scenes, kind of, and then blew up, and then people are like, you know, like it's nice when somebody makes it big time and they've got like 10 years of songs to go back and check out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, they deserve it. They're awesome.
Yeah. So what are you doing with your music? Are you writing anything original? Are you doing anything original? Are you just, you know, loving the covers? Or...
yeah. So mostly what I do is covers. You know, like when I was like all the bands I was in were all cover bands and stuff. And what's funny is I'm a writer. Like I write novels. Yeah. As you
which we like, were gonna get to, so that's awesome.
And then and I play music, but it's so hard for me to like mingle those two. And so you know, there's some songs bumping around, but
hold on.
Yeah.
That none of that makes sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, Jim. Yeah. I wish I could make it make sense.
So all right. Let's go into this one foot at a time.
Yep.
So right now I know you have a novel out already.
Yes.
Okay. Now I think by the time this episode actually comes out, it's going to be like a perfect storm of shit, I think. I think your novel will already have come out.
Mm-hmm.
Based on I think what I see, cuz it's coming out soon, right? Our time
the end of April.
Okay, yeah. So perfect. Which is pretty much when this episode is going to end up coming out because of all other shit that's going on. It's not against you. It's just the way the schedule is working out.
That's how it works. I got it.
You know, I can't tell you how many I have conversations I did in January that aren't coming out until for another like 6 weeks. But
that's crazy.
Anyway, I digress. So by the time this comes out, the new book will have come out.
Mm-hmm.
I think from what I'm being told, I don't know how true it is. The Off the Rails venue will be a week or so from opening.
That's the plan, I guess.
Or opening already. I don't know. I mean, I guess we could talk about it because by the time this comes out, everything's going to be released anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the first book about? I mean, I know what it's about, but for the people that don't.
Right. So the first book is called West of Wanting. It came out a couple years ago. And it's about two brothers, and it takes place in the 1940s in a really, really small town on a ranch in Hays County, Nebraska. And basically, their mother passes away, and in her will, she leaves behind this revelation for these brothers to basically figure out. And you know, so basically the ranch and the family as they know it is not true. Is all I'll say. And so they just wake up one day and like, you know, rowdy kids that want to be cowboys, they saddle up a couple horses and they ride 1,000 miles from Hays County, Nebraska. Well, I don't think it's 1,000 miles, it's like 500 or something crazy. From Hays County, Nebraska to Fort Collins, Colorado, and then up to Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they're looking for answers, and they're looking for kind of a reckoning on what happened to their family after their mother passed away. And it's a wild ride.
There's so it's a movie already that should be already made.
It definitely you know, I think it would be a great movie. I would watch this movie, if I'm being totally honest. You know, I think maybe I don't know if I can vouch 100% for the writing, but definitely the story could be a very good one.
So where did this whole story come from?
Okay. Yeah. So this is kind of a long story, but I'm going to keep it short.
That's okay. I'm here for you, bro.
I have a notepad in front of me, and all it says is be brief, because I'm not good at being brief. That's why I write novels and not like short stories. Okay? But my grandma always says I go around the world to wipe my own ass. That's what she says. So I'm gonna try not to do that. But
that's awesome.
All right. So the short story is basically when I moved to Worcester. So I don't think we ever talked about this, but I moved to Worcester actually to go to med school. I'm actually a doctor. I'm not practicing right now, but I'm a doctor. And so
a doctor in what?
I'm a doctor of optometry, so an eye doctor.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said I was a jack of all trades. So
does your girlfriend ever look at you sometimes and go, "Jared, what the fuck are you doing?"
she said one time, we were like having dinner with some of her coworkers, and she was like, "You know, Jared's a singer. Jared wrote a book. Jared's a doctor." And she was like, "People are going to think I'm lying. Like, right? People are going to think I'm just making shit up about you." But, I would love to just be like really good at one thing.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's not the way my life has gone down so far. So
you're really good at three really important things. So that's good.
In 2015, I moved to Worcester from Pennsylvania, to go to medical school. And then at the end of medical school, in the last like 6 months, I had the opportunity to go work at the Veterans Hospital in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And work with patients out there. And, you know, I've been singing about Cheyenne, Wyoming for my entire life. I might as well go see what it's like. Right. So, you know, I pack my hat, pack my boots, and I'm like ready to get out there. And, I would commute back and forth every once in a while between Cheyenne and Colorado. And I would leave super early in the morning, and I would leave when it was still dark out, and the sun would rise at the, like, I would be driving through the Rocky Mountain foothills. And when the sun rises over the mountains, it's kind of crazy because it, like, the top of the mountains catch the light first.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, like, the sun almost, like, falls down the mountains. And so I would be driving this, like really boring stretch of highway that was, like, straight as an arrow. And this one morning, I was, like, listening to some really good music, and there were wild bison on my left, and there was a sunrise over the Rocky Mountains on the right. And I was like, this is like something worth doing here. And it was just like, you know, like a watershed moment for me. And I was like, this is like, I gotta do something with this. And I had been, you know, like if I was bored in class or whatever, like I would just write little stories. And like, I read a lot, and you know, my mom's a librarian, and like, I grew up with books and reading and writing and whatever. And never really took it super seriously. And then when I graduated from med school, I had a job opportunity that fell through, like basically like a clerical thing, right? Like, and it was like my dream job, all of a sudden it was gone. And I was like pretty devastated, right? And so I was like, you know what, I'm pretty burnt out from like going to school for like forever. And so I'm gonna take a little time and work on some other projects, and writing was one, music was one. And so I just started sitting down and forcing myself to, you know, write about what it would be like to see, you know, bison and the Rocky Mountains, and you know, like what that would feel like if I had no idea that they were going to be there.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like, that was where the idea came from for that book. And then, you know, the characters kind of created themselves a little bit while I was writing it.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's the story on that one. But
I'm amazed. I'm amazed how this happened. So So you write this whole thing, and then do you pitch it to somebody, or did somebody, you know, did you reach out while you were writing it and say, hey, this is what I'm writing about, yada, 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 who wants to buy it?
Yeah, so what's crazy is, like, writing the book is the easy part.
Yeah.
Right? So I had it written, and it probably took me, I think it took me 6 months to write it, and then about a year to edit it, maybe, you know, 9 months. And then when I felt like it was as good as I could get it, then I started sending it out to agents, like literary agents, and seeing if anybody wants to bite. And then at that point, if anybody bites on that, then they have to turn around to printers and publishers and say, like, you know, and then they have to basically sell it again. So I have to sell it to somebody, and then they have to sell it for me, basically. And so, you know, I'm not good at that. Like, I'm a terrible salesman. you know, like, I would love to, you know, like, sell myself on social media a little bit, you know, like, you know, have a little bit more of a presence, but, yeah, that's the, so, and then I've got another one coming out, the end of April, called The Devil in These Hills. And I'm pretty excited about that one. And, I think that one would be a pretty good movie too.
What's that one about?
Yeah. All right. So this one is, this one takes place in the 1980s in, the Texas Hill Country. And basically there's a family, the Jimenez family, moves to a new town. There's two brothers, teenage brothers, and they, are the new kids at this school. And, the school bully, takes an interest in the younger brother and, you know, starts beating the shit out of him, basically. And by the end of the first week, the bully is dead, and he was stabbed by the younger brother. And so the town, of course, wants to say that it's murder. Yeah. And the brother's teacher comes out in his defense, and the whole town is in an uproar about, you know, is it self-defense? Is it murder? And this whole time, the school bully's father is, like, out on the town exacting revenge on everybody that's basically speaking ill of his dead son. So,
damn.
Yeah, man.
That, where the hell, that's unbelievable. I want to know more. Like, I'm not a reader by any stretch, but, like, the way you talk about these books, it's like, shit, now I gotta get them. Now I gotta read.
Now you gotta read. Son, I know. You know, my neighbor, I gave him a copy of my book, and he goes, thanks, man. I'm not gonna read it, but I appreciate it. Like, whatever, man. Oh, put it on the shelf.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
now I'm gonna ask, like, the faux pas question. Is there a audio version of these books coming?
That's something that I've been, you know, toying with a little bit, and we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I mean,
like, I could see you reading us the book.
it's a big undertaking, but you know, I've got the time, so I'm not going to say no.
Right.
That's what I'll say.
So in between the first book and this book,
right,
how much time has passed, and how much time did it take you to write this second book?
So this book took me probably about a year to write. I did a little bit more research for this one, just because I hadn't lived in this setting, you know? Yeah. And, so I did a little bit more research on the time period and the people and the area. And then I would say probably, I don't know, 6 months to write it. And then about a year again, editing or revising and rewriting.
Wow.
But I just got the first box of advanced copies, and they're beautiful. I mean, like, this cover is, like, I almost can't believe that it's my book when I look at the cover, because I'm like, that shit is it looks too pretty to be my book, you know?
Right, yeah.
So yeah,
that's,
man.
That's incredible. So for people that don't know, I mean, obviously, sure. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.
You can.
But can you, if for the few bookstores that are around still, can you get them there too?
So we're working on getting it into some brick and mortar stores. So when my first book came out, physical bookstores were pretty much closed nationwide because of COVID.
Yeah.
It came out in August 2020. And so there, you know, there wasn't like I was looking at maybe doing like some book signing events and like some readings and getting it into bookstores. And there was, you know, none of that was happening because of COVID. And so with this book, we're trying to push it out, into some bookstores. It's definitely going to be available, you know, in like the local market around here. And we're, you know, hopefully Barnes and Noble takes notice to it and some of the bigger stores can bring it out. But,
I'm sure there's going to be a cost to that, right? Putting a book into a store.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. So it's basically the cost comes with, you know, the, like a physical bookstore basically requires, like, I'm kind of putting Barnes and Noble on blast here. Unintentionally, but like, so to
well, they're the only ones anymore.
They're the only ones left. You're right. So like to even be considered to go on to the shelves of Barnes and Noble, you need to sell your book to them at 55% off.
Oh, Jesus. Right?
So whatever, you know, whatever they make on that book is going to be based on getting it for more than half off. And at that point, you know, like for a writer like me, who's, you know, not going to sell a million copies, like the margins are pretty razor thin already. Right. And then, so 55% off is a big chunk of anything, you know, but, we'll see what happens, but it's definitely, they should both be, by the time this comes out, they should be both be available, on Amazon. And, we're working on getting a site up at jaredreiner.com where you can order signed copies of both of them.
That's awesome. That's so good. You know, that's so do you have, I know, you know, this one is just finished, but do you have plans for a third?
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of researching one. I was actually working on it. You know, right when you called, I'm sitting at my desk doing some research on a third one. And, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm excited. I think it'll be pretty cool.
Now, so you're doing research for this third one. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure you have a storyline in your head or written out or, you know, outlined or what have you.
Right.
Like the other two, how much will this story do you think will change from today till the time it's out?
It would probably be unrecognizable if I had to guess. Yeah. So, so the first one, my first book was from the time I got the idea to the time it was written down, it was pretty close. It was pretty tight when I had the idea in my head. And then my second one, I just kind of was like, it just kind of started as like, I guess I got to sit down and write something again. And, I was probably 50 pages into that one when I was like, you know what, like the setting's not right, the character's not right, the conflict isn't right. I'm going to scrap the entire thing and start over somewhere in Texas. And so I was literally just looking at a map of Texas, like a highway map of Texas. And I saw this little town called Uvalde, Texas. And I was like, that's the place. I don't know anything about it, but like, that's where the story's going to be.
Wow.
And so I started doing some research for a couple of days on the town and the area, and just kind of, you know, went to bed thinking about it, got up thinking about it, thought about it in the shower, you know, walking around with my dog, and eventually just got enough to go full steam ahead. So
where was the original setting?
The original setting, it was actually going to be a Catholic school in New England.
Huh.
And it was going to be, you know, basically the same conflict, like a, you know, like a bully situation and a good teacher and a bad guy of a dad coming after everybody.
Yeah.
And just something about it, I was like, you know, it's like, it's hard to write something about, you know, I'm not a super religious guy, but like, it's hard to write about a Catholic school and not seem preachy about it. And I was like,
yeah,
you know,
right. I get
like,
that.
I don't know if I could do this for 300 pages. You know, I think I might be exhausted by the end of it. And,
right.
And, so I was like, you know what? I got cowboy boots. I've been to Texas. Let's go to Texas, baby. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hell yeah. And I mean, and really like, you know, based on the brother's last name, you know, and being the '80s, you know, you know, ultimately an immigrant family coming into a Texas town and then being, you know, being the ones to, you know, ultimately kill this kid, you know, that's right. That right there is a story all in itself.
Right. Yeah. So that's a huge conflict in this book and how, you know, this family is, you know, so the kid's name is Gabriel Jimenez and he moves into this town where this bully and his family have been, you know, their roots are in this town for hundreds of years. And even though this kid was, you know, born and raised in Texas, Gabriel Jimenez was born and raised in Texas just because of a last name and a heritage, you know, the entire town can come after you. And
it's amazing, huh? A story set in the '80s and how different our world is today in 2022.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it was a tough one to write too. Cause some of the action scenes and the conflicts and like some of the things, some of the characters had to say, I was like, man, I don't love this, you know, like,
yeah, but I mean, you know, it's right. Right.
It's, you know, it's all for the story and it's all for the, you know, for the
right
development of the conflict and the characters. But like,
right,
man, it's tough. It's tough, yeah. You know,
and you know, it, but that also goes to, you know, talk to the times too. You know, it's,
you oh, know, for
I'm,
sure.
For I'm sure. A big, you know, I, my wife gets mad that I say it out loud, but like, you know, I hate, you know, I'm a big history guy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, huge. If I wasn't doing what I do, you know, history, and could get paid to be like a history researcher or whatever, right, like I would do it.
Nice.
You know, but I hate, like, absolutely loathe when people, you know, a society, a culture or whatever tries to put, you know, our current morality on things that have happened in the past.
Okay.
Like, I can't stand it, you know, and for that reason, it's like, you know, a lot of things have changed in, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100, 150 years.
Right.
You know, the way people, you know, because people don't see it that way. They don't see like, oh, well, it was a different time, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
You know, and I totally understand it.
Right. But it doesn't change the way it happened. Right.
Right. Right. Right. We know now that was a bad idea. And they might have known then it was a bad idea.
But they still did it.
But they still did it, and they had their reasons.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying they're good reasons by any stretch. But it's just so crazy to me. They're like, well, we wouldn't do that now. Well, no shit, we wouldn't do it now because you know we have a lot of we have a lot of technology and a lot of education that they didn't have then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's but. Now I'm preaching. Now I feel like I'm preaching and getting on my soapbox.
Hey, this is, you know, but this is your congregation, right?
Yeah. At this point, everybody has stopped listening to the episode.
It's just you and me.
It's just you and I. Yeah. But yeah, you know, and like, you know, it is what it is, you know, but I think that's a testament to you and who you are that, you know, if those things were easy to write about, you know, then we'd have a different conversation.
This is a half-wit attempt to loop back to music here, but like in music and writing, like I try to be like very true to the art of it, you know, like I love sitting down with a guitar and playing a song that somebody put a lot of hours into, and I love like sitting down with a book and like reading a book knowing that like somebody was like hunched over a desk looking at that comma and thinking like, is it gonna stay or is it gonna go, you know? And I think there's a lot of similarities that I found in books and writing and music. I wish I could find that similarity and just write some damn songs, you know?
Yeah. So do you find that it's hard to write songs based on, you know, your own personal things because you are a, you know, a more or less a full-time author?
I think I maybe judge myself a little bit harder than I should. And I mean, there's guys like, I'm a big fan of Jason Isbell, and his songwriting is very, like, I think he could write an incredible book, right? Like his writing is really, really incredible and almost literary. And, I would love to be able to do something like that, but every time I sit down, you know, even if I have an idea or a line, it's just like a, you know, a beast that I've never faced before almost, you know? So, it's a work in progress. So
you should just write songs based on your books and like put out soundtracks to them.
That's actually a great idea. I might have to write that one down.
You know, like, why not? You know, I mean, if Kevin Costner can do it with Yellowstone.
That's true. That's true. Yellowstone does have some great music.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Have you been watching that?
I have been. I gotta be honest, I didn't love this last season.
No, I didn't either.
It was very boring.
Yeah.
I thought. And
they could have did so much more with it.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know. I feel like, and you know, and once again, maybe I'm looking at it from the lens of a writer, but like, I feel like he kind of, Taylor Sheridan, I feel like kind of lost sight of some of the characters and like what they're there for. Right.
Yeah.
And like John Dutton kind of just becoming like moping around the ranch. Like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not why we're watching the show, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm not defending anybody, right? Because I've never written anything in my entire life. But I think because of how much time was between season 3 and season 4 and the pandemic and, you know, all that, you know, maybe it was tough to get a story out.
For sure.
And then, you know, I don't know if you watched 1883, but
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, no, I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks like what you would want Yellowstone to kind of be, you know?
Right. And, you know, it's for me, you know, there was a few episodes in the middle there that were like, all right, like, is the hour over yet?
Right.
But the way, you know, and I say it to my wife, I'm like, I have to sit down, I think, and watch it from start to finish again, you know, without any like week in between each episode, because it really reads, you know, I think this is where you would appreciate it. It reads like a novel or it shows like a novel, you know, it's very detailed. It's very intricate. You know, there's a lot of description for an episode.
Right. You know? Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah. I mean, if Sam Elliott's in something, I'm usually down for it.
Yeah.
So
because he's the epitome of
he is the cowboy. Yeah.
Right. Right. So now, you know, we've talked about a ton of stuff now.
Right.
Between your music and your book, and, you know, you being a doctor,
we covered it all.
We did. And I'm sure we could cover so much more. What would you like if somebody came to you tomorrow and said, you know, Jared, you have to pick one of these three things.
That's a great question.
What does that look like to you?
That's a really good question.
Or let me rephrase it because she's probably the most important factor in it. What if your girlfriend comes to you tomorrow and says you have to pick one of these things?
That's a great question. And you know, I think honestly I would probably pick music because it just feels like, I don't know, it feels like the roots are a little bit deeper, you know?
Yeah.
Like I went to school to be a doctor because I liked going to school and you know, I liked what I was doing and thought it would be interesting, thought it was something I could do. And, you know, it's funny, like I've been more than fine not seeing patients for like 2 years now, you know, like focusing on music and books and stuff. And I think I could probably walk away from writing and be very proud of the work I've already put in. Yeah. But I'm not sure, I'm not exaggerating when I say like I play guitar and sing every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and like I play, you know, off the rails for 3 hours every Wednesday, and there are nights when I get home and like have a song, like I'll hear a song on the radio on the drive home, and like I come home and play for a half hour by myself, you know. And I don't think I could ever like hang the guitar up, you know, hang the singing. I mean, I play a lot, probably too much, but
there's no such thing as too much music, man.
Yeah, man. I just honestly, it really is like I do it because I love it, and I've played a lot of shitty shows and a lot of shows for free and shows where nobody showed up, and it's still like, you know, like I still get to sing and play, you know, and like any opportunity that I have to like, you know, strap on a guitar and stand behind a mic is like, I'm gonna have a great time.
Yeah Well, so I told you at the beginning of this through text that I had no questions prepared for you, which is kind of a lie. I have two.
Okay, let's hear it.
But before I get to those, okay. I want to really thank you for this last hour. You know, it's, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I didn't know really where this was going to go. I never know what to expect coming into these. And I have to tell you that the conversation we just had is probably in my top five of this show.
Damn, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate
hell
that.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of people now at this point. and, you know, what you have given to me for this is everything I've wanted this show to be.
Awesome, man. That makes me happy to hear. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
You know, and I tell people all the time, like, you know, you wouldn't be on this show unless there was a connection to country music, right? Of some sort.
For sure.
You know, and I tell people all the time, like, we know you have music out. We know you sing songs. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, it's important to know the person behind those songs,
mm-hmm.
so that the song and the music or whatever you're doing in the genre, you know, people can connect with it a little better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, that's what it's about.
You've done all of that and more, and I honestly can't thank you enough.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And I mean, I appreciate you having me on and talking to me. Absolutely. And it's been a great time.
So. Absolutely. And you know what? We're going to talk about getting you a little more social media coverage here.
You know, my girlfriend's on my case she's on my case to get on TikTok, and I think that's a step too far.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah.
But you know, I don't think you'll see me dancing anytime soon. No, like that. But
I mean, you can get on and just sing.
And just sing. Know? Yeah, that's true. You know, I had just like a 2-minute conversation with Tyler Booth before the show.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to my family about the show, and my little cousin, he was like, well, he's not little anymore. He's like 16. And he was like, man, I love Tyler Booth on TikTok. He's awesome. And so I told him, I was like, man, my cousin loves you on TikTok. And he was like, and he's got like such a Southern drawl. And he goes, I do all kinds of stupid shit on there.
Yeah.
And that's like all he said. And then he walked away. And I was like, yeah, that's rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, yeah, he's, I really think that, you know, Tyler's one of those people that, you know, in the next couple of years, it's going to be, his name is going to be in the realm of all the other big names.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, him and his dad are hustling big time to get his name out and get his music out. And, you know, it deserves to be out there. It deserves airtime. And
yeah.
And, yeah, I think there's good stuff coming for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, thank you so much. my two questions are these, and they're super hard questions, so I hope you're sitting.
Okay, I am sitting.
Good. So one, because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, the two questions are about that.
Okay.
Obviously, you have boots.
I do have boots.
Whose boots are you wearing? That sounds so off.
Hey. But, yeah. So I actually wear Tecovis boots, and
I gotta get in contact with them because everybody comes on and says Tecovis.
Man, you know, I just want to say this. I was wearing Tecovis boots before they were cool. You know, and I know a lot of people say that about a lot of shit, but like I actually saw an ad on Instagram when I was in Wyoming for Tecovis boots. And this was probably like, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And I was like, I have like honey suede cowboy boots. Oh my God. They're beautiful, man. They're beautiful. And, I'll send you a link. You should get a pair.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't work for them. I don't take commission, but you should get a pair.
You know, it's one of those things because my wife got me Ariats for my birthday right when the pandemic started.
Right.
And, you know, so that's all I know. So that's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I hear all kinds of things about, you know, this brand or this brand. So it's nice to hear. And it's, you know, Tecovis just keep coming up. Almost every episode is somebody talking about Tecovis.
Really? That's funny. Yeah. I love mine, and they're comfortable, and they've held up for 3 or 4 years of pretty hard wear. So
yeah. Now, do you only have one pair?
So I think I do only have one pair now. I used to have a pair of, I think they might have been Ariats or maybe Georgia. And they were like Roper boots. Right, like the square toes.
Yeah.
And then I was looking for something a little bit more traditional, so I got my Tecovis now. So that's all I wear. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. That's what mine are. Mine are the square toe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've gotten them to a point where, you know, I can slip them on, slip them off, and you know, it's almost my everyday, you know, when I was working in an office, that's what I wore. And
oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, so it's
great. Once, and it's funny, like once you wear them in, it's like you can't really convince somebody to try another brand or get another pair. Like, you know, I'll wear mine until they're in tatters, you know.
Right.
But
now what's your whiskey of choice?
Oh, Jim, you're gonna kick me off the show.
Oh, I don't like whiskey, or I don't drink whiskey, right? So, right? Is that what you're gonna tell me?
It's not my favorite for sure. It's not my favorite. I'm a head to toe beer guy, man.
Really?
But yeah. So you know, I really want to like whiskey, and I've tried a bunch of whiskey, and just doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
So then, what is your beer of choice, then?
My beer of choice, I'm a Yingling guy.
Okay, so that makes sense.
I grew up about a half hour from where Yingling is brewed.
Yeah.
And so I mean, like, you know. That's like, you know, water where I grew up, you know. Yeah. Like everybody's drinking Yingling. And I moved, you know, when I went to college and drinking became a game. I drank a lot of other shitty beer, and you know, went back to the shitty beer that I grew up on. And so I drink a Yingling every time when I'm singing, and off the rails, I always have one next to me. And
so it's funny you say that because, you know, I like to talk about myself a lot, so I'm going to plug myself for a minute.
Go ahead. You know, I'm actually sick of talking about me. So.
So today, when we're recording this, it is March 3rd, and tomorrow is actually my 35th birthday.
Happy birthday, Jim. I didn't know that. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I remember when Yingling, before Yingling came to New England or Massachusetts or whatever,
that's right,
you couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I, you know, I was 21. It still hadn't gotten here. And I remember, you know, driving to like North Jersey just to get it.
Yeah.
you know, because it was the only way you could get it. You know, we'd make a day trip out of it because, you know, somebody would go down there and be like, dude, this shit's great, yada, yada, yada. And then they would bring it home. And I remember before Yuengling came here, I was in Pennsylvania for some reason. I think we were going to Gettysburg.
Okay.
And I bought a ton of it. I bought a ton of it warm. I brought it home. And, you know, I was working in the restaurant industry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I saw a beer rep, I was like, what are we doing about getting Yuengling to New England? And, you know, there's a lot of conversation with that. And, you know, it finally was like, hey, it's coming. Nice. And no restaurant I had worked in wanted to carry it because nobody knew anything about it.
Really?
And I was like, trust me. So one of the bars I worked at, they got it the week it came, and, you know, they still have it to this day.
That's crazy. You know,
it's definitely one of my go-tos if I'm drinking beer, but.
Right. So what's your favorite whiskey? Like for your birthday tomorrow, what are you drinking?
So that's a good question. Because of doing this, I have so many, you know, I have so much that has been sent to me and all that,
right.
You know, people want me to try and feature and all this shit. But I have to say that, so we've been doing in-depth whiskey reviews, and the first one we did was for TX Whiskey out of Texas.
Okay.
And they were the first ones to send me something, and I'm not saying it because it was the first, but from the ones I've tried so far,
yeah,
that one is one of my favorites.
Okay.
We can't get it up here.
Okay, of course.
It was actually illegally, from what I gather, sent to me.
That makes it taste even better, though. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it really does. You know, and I've got another bottle that's supposed to be coming tomorrow from Greenbrier that I'm really looking forward to trying.
Okay.
You know, I like the Tennessee whiskeys a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like Jack and, you know. Jack, the original, right? Well, maybe not the original, but that's the one everybody knows.
That's the one everybody knows. You're right.
So that's always a one that I can, you know, do whatever with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so what I've tried, you know, there's stuff that I've liked. There's stuff that I haven't really cared for. You know, during the pandemic, I was a big IPA guy.
And okay.
I couldn't do those because I was drinking one and I was all done. And it's like, yep. What good is this?
I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
You know, so, you know, but now it's funny. If I have to drink beer for whatever reason, I have to do the light stuff. I'm getting too old to be fancy. you know, I've gotten into Miller Lite because it, you know, it goes down easy.
Yeah. It doesn't stick to the belly.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
Yeah, I can have 12 of those and, you know. Still drive home from wherever I am. So
hey, I got a joke for you. I just thought of this.
All right.
Do people tell jokes on here? I don't know.
No, I mean, this is going to be a first.
Okay. So, do you know what Miller Lite and having sex in a kayak have in common?
What?
It's fucking close to water.
So, I mean, it's true. It's very, very true.
Feel free to cut that if you. Okay.
Oh, no.
All right. It's
so, like, that's the other thing. None of these episodes, if you go back and listen to them, none of them are edited. I don't, and a lot in a, you know, a little insider secret. It's a lot of, because I don't know how to.
Hey, you know, I love that.
Right. So that I just tell people, it's like, whatever you say stays. So, you know, based on some of the shares that I've gotten of people that have, you know, you can tell who likes their episode and who doesn't. Yeah.
And that's funny.
And the numbers I see, you know, you can tell who likes the episode.
Who is telling people. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Acting like they never sat for it. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and I've even had an episode where it was a great conversation, and then I had said or posted something in favor of something on our social media account, and they asked me to pull their episode entirely.
Damn.
So my wife said, why don't you not do that ever again? And, you know.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes you need, that's why we need to keep girls around.
That's right.
You keep, you know, You gotta. It's always good to have one close by to stop you from.
Doing dumb shit
sometimes, you know.
Because you know, for me, this is not about politics. It's not about the, you know, religion. It's not about you know the goings on in the world. Even though, you know,
they're going. They're going on. Yeah, right,
they're going. You know, for me, this is like an escape from all that bullshit.
Right. Right.
You know, I was in politics for a very, very long time.
Okay.
And, you know, it has skewed my views on things quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. And, yeah, I just, you know, I've taken all of, you know, the news stations and news organizations and all that from either side, because I need to know both sides. I don't want to know one side or the other.
Right.
And it just became too much. So I got rid of all of it, and I couldn't honestly have been happier.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
You know, I don't have CNN or Fox News or anybody screaming at me about what I should think about a situation. And I, you know, if I care enough, I'll research it, make my own opinion. And
Exactly. I mean, I just the other day I was at the gym and they have, you know, like a wall of TVs.
Yeah.
And they had CNN on one side and Fox News on the other side. And I was looking back and forth and just like they were talking about the same story. And it just blew my mind the way, you know, like as somebody who loves stories,
right.
You know, like you can take something that, you know, nobody's making this shit up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell it in 1,000 different ways, however you want. And, I think you're onto something.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, as growing up and doing it, you know, I have no bones about talking about it, but like I was a registered Democrat from all my life from 18 till last November. And I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take them. I couldn't take the other side. I was like, I'm all done.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I registered independent so that I can make whatever choice I want to without feeling any sort of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been super healthy for me because I had started many a battles with
people. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's you know, it's a spiral for sure.
Yeah. You know, I lean certain ways on certain things, and you know, I know where my heart and my soul and my core lies. And you know, if you're a candidate or now we're getting into this shit, even though I said this isn't what this is about. You know, then that's the way I'll go. But if not, then you know, it's no hair off my ass. That's for sure.
Hey, you know, we said it a couple of times, but it's, you know, like you got to be true to what you're doing and true to yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So. But so now that I've gotten off of that, look at that, two soapboxes that I promised myself I would never, ever get into.
Oh, man. Our better halves are not going to be happy with this one.
No, probably not. But, well, my wife doesn't listen anyway. She's okay. Like, I don't even.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody I know is going to make it this far either. So so we're right. Safe.
Hey, I have a two-hour episode that is in the top five listened to episodes. So,
really?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, man. I don't know if I could talk for 2 hours though.
No, I don't either. I mean, and I have to do another one of these this afternoon, so that's a lot.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably read a book and take a nap. But I wish you luck, Jim.
That sounds nice. Thank you so much, Jared. it was a pleasure having you. I can't wait for the whole world to hear about you because you deserve it, man.
I appreciate you saying that, Jim, and I appreciate you having me on. It was awesome talking to you.
Yeah, anytime. We'll stay in touch, and I'll see you super soon with all the things you're doing.
Absolutely, and happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
All right. Take it easy, Jim. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Well, there you have it. As you can tell, you know, Jared and I had a great conversation. It's a conversation I hold near and dear to my heart. I've been lucky enough to see Jared a couple of times now since we've recorded this episode, and you know, it's awesome that him and I are friends. At least I consider him a friend. You know, this dude really means the world to me. You know, in this industry, as a, you know, sometimes a punching bag of, you know, frustration or whatever, and you know, incredible author, incredible singer. You know, I loved hearing about how, you know, at being an author, you know, in the lack of desire, I don't want to even say that, but a lack of not knowing what to write about for a song is just unbelievable. It's so cool. It's such an interesting take. There's not much more I want to say, or no, there's a plenty I want to say, but there's not much more I can say that hasn't already been said about this conversation. So Jared, thank you so much for being on. If you haven't already, go check out The Devil in These Hills, Jared's latest novel. He also, he's the Spur Award nominated author of West of Wanting. That was his first book we talked about as well in the episode. Go get those books. Absolutely incredible. You know, a true friend to the show and a true friend to anybody who would meet him. So Jared, thank you so much. If you're in the Worcester area or local, check him out, Off the Rails, Wednesday nights. You definitely don't want to miss it. Absolutely incredible. Hell of a guy. And support local music and local artists like this while they're still local and still doing their doing the damn thing. So until next time, guys, keep the boots on the ground, the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, everyone.